What better way to end a Christmas party than with a Christmas story?
Hey, so we're going to pass the Christmas cookies around. We're going to make it nice and homey. And it's fun to celebrate the season. But I think it's so much better to celebrate the sun. The story of the incarnation of God come to man is one that can be so easy to take for granted, to get used to find as commonplace. And so what I want to do is to help us not only celebrate and enjoy family and enjoy each other, but also to kind of hone in on the heart of God and what happened thousands of years ago that has forever altered history. When we think of Christmas and we have that anticipation of its arrival, it should stir something in us. For Christians, this is our biggest day of the year. If the incarnation had not happened, we would have nothing to celebrate at Easter. If the incarnation had not happened, we would not have a way, a forever way, to be reconciled back to our Father. And so I want you to kind of like open your heart up to the anticipation that must have been felt for hundreds of years leading up to that small, quiet night in Bethlehem. For hundreds of years, prophets had been talking about and prophesying about this Messiah that was going to come and ransom Israel from her enemies, from her troubles, from her bondage under the law. And so unassuming was this entry, this awakening into the world. It happened on such a quiet setting that it can even now, I think, be easy to overlook it in the hustle and the bustle and the commercialization of this time of year. I'm going to read to you out of like three different portions of scripture, and then we'll talk about it afterwards. But I want you to hear these scriptures through the framework of Christmas, of the framework of the incarnation. And maybe you haven't like stopped to process these scriptures through that. And so this will be hopefully a broadening of your understanding of the story of God. Because the story of God from beginning to end is the story of God come to his people to ransom and reconcile his people back to himself so that we all can be in the family that we were made to be a part of. And so I'm going to start in Zechariah and read from there. Whatever your story posture is, get comfortable now. Before we get started, let me pray. Heavenly Father, we look up to you. We look to you for the direction in our lives. We look to you for wisdom. We look to you for understanding as we process through the very event that has been the catalyst for us becoming sons and daughters. Our identity has hinged on you not only being who you are, but also operating in accordance to your character. And this moment in history was a monumental shift that was strategic and purposeful in bringing us back home. God, may our hearts be softened. May we take a turn away from what we outwardly perceive as Christmas, and may we inwardly receive the power and the understanding of the incarnation of Christ. In the name of Jesus, amen. I will encamp at my temple to guard it against marauding forces. Never again will an oppressor overrun my people, for now I am keeping watch. Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See your king comes to you. Righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. He will rule. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will free your prisoners from the waterless pit. Return to your fortress, you prisoners of hope. Even now, I announce that I will restore twice as much to you. I will bend Judah as I bend my bow, and I will fill it with Ephraim. I will rouse your son Zion against your son's Greece, and I will make you like a warrior's sword. Then the Lord will appear over them. His arrow will flash like lightning. The sovereign Lord will sound the trumpet, and he will march in the storms of the south. And the Lord Almighty will shield them. They will destroy and overcome with sling stones. They will drink and roar as with wine. And they will be full like a bowl used for the sprinkling of the corners of the altar. The Lord their God will save his people on that day, as a shepherd saves his flock. They will sparkle in his land like jewels in a crown. How attractive and beautiful they will be. Grain will make young men thrive, and new wine the young women. 1 John chapter 5. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, that is love for God, to keep his commands. And his commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And the three are in agreement. We accept human testimony, but God's testimony is greater, because it is the testimony of God, which he has given about his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God accepts this testimony. Whoever does not believe God has made him out to be a liar, because they have not believed the testimony God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life, and whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. Luke chapter 2. About that time, Caesar Augustus ordered a census to be taken throughout the empire. This was the first census when Quirinius was governor of Syria. Everyone had to travel to his own ancestral hometown to be accounted for. So Joseph went from the Galilean town of Nazareth up to Bethlehem in Judah, David's town, for the census. As a descendant of David, he had to go there. He went with Mary, his fiancée, who was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. She gave birth to a son, her firstborn. She wrapped him in a blanket and laid him in a manger, because there was no room in the hostel. Now there were sheep herders camping in the neighborhood. They had set night watches over their sheep. But suddenly, God's angel stood among them, and God's glory blazed around them. They were terrified. The angel said, "Don't be afraid. I'm here to announce a great and joyful event that is meant for everybody worldwide. A Savior has just been born in David's town, a Savior who is Messiah and Master. This is what you're to look for, a baby wrapped in a blanket, lying in a manger. At once, the angel was joined by a huge angelic choir singing God's praises. Glory to God in the heavenly heights, peace to all men and women on earth who please him. As the angel choir withdrew into heaven, the sheepherders talked it over. Let's get over to Bethlehem as fast as we can and see for ourselves what God has revealed to us. They left, running, and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. Seeing was believing. They told everyone they met what the angels had said about this child. All who heard the sheepherders were impressed. Mary kept all these things to herself, holding them dear within herself. The sheepherders returned and let loose, glorifying and praising God for everything they had heard and seen. It turned out exactly the way they had been told. Jesus' father and mother took him to the temple. Simeon went on to bless them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child marks both the failure and the recovery of many in Israel, a figure misunderstood and contradicted, the pain of a sword thrust through you, but the rejection will force honesty as God reveals who they really are." Anna the prophetess was also there, a daughter of Phanuel from the tribe of Asher. She was by now a very old woman, and she had been married 7 years and a widow for 84. She never left the temple area, worshiping night and day with her fastings and prayers. At that very time Simeon was praying, she showed up, broke into an anthem of praise to God, and talked about the child all who were waiting expectantly for the freeing of Jerusalem. When they finished everything required by God in the law, they returned to Galilee and to their own town of Nazareth. There the child grew strong in body and wise in spirit, and the grace of God was on him. There are certain things we know. We know these things because God came near and lived with us. And he lives in us currently by his spirit. And his word, the Bible, is our counselor. John tells us that we know we have eternal life. We know we are of God. And we know the spirit of God has come and has given us understanding. We have the advantage of seeing these things from this side of Bethlehem. Zechariah, though, saw these things from the dark. This prophet, he too knew the whole world was under the sway of the wicked one. But in that darkness, he saw a dawning light. God looked down from heaven and observed that evil encroached everywhere. He saw and made a determination to come down and to camp around his house. God came near. He invaded the earth and set up a perimeter defense around his people. Humanity was overwhelmed by the shadows of darkness, unable to resist the massive demonic forces pressing into heads and hearts. God came down and he set up a wall. Our King came to us lowly and riding on a donkey. Jesus, in utero, rode a donkey into Bethlehem. And once again, into his triumphal entry at Jerusalem. Both were astonishingly humble rides. Jesus came to earth to defend us. Jesus came to earth to defend us. Christmas is our relief and our defense. Our King comes to protect us from sin and self and Satan. Zechariah prophesied, "The Lord their God will save them in that day. They will be like the jewels of a crown." In incarnation, God invaded his own dark, rebellious world. Christmas represents our rescue. We know that we will be delivered, but there is still a battle to fight. Guys, hear this. Christmas is knowing that we are doomed, our backs against the wall, enemy hordes flowing over the gates, death only minutes away, when our king, in brilliant light, rides over the crest of the hill and smashes through the demonic forces standing next to us. We are yet surrounded, but God is with us. Ankle deep in blood and mud, with fire in his eyes and an arm swinging his flashing sword, in this context, John reminds us that faith is the victory that overcomes the world. The world is not overcome by prayer. It is not overcome by church planting or evangelism or power encounters. The world is overcome by faith. He who believes that Jesus is the Son of God overcomes the world. 1 John 5:5. Christmas is about faith. It is believing that Jesus is the Son of God who came to dwell with humanity, who will defend us, who will defeat evil. We participate in the victory of Christmas by believing that God will do it again. He will come soon to culminate his victory. On that day, not only will he be with us, we will be with him forever. We will enjoy a second Christmas. Will you guys stand with me? Oh Christ, how humble of you to come in to the dirt and to the sweat and to the hardships of this life, to labor alongside us, to fight the best fight that we ourselves could not fight. In humility, you came as a small child. You didn't come as some would have imagined, as some pagans believed that their mighty Greek or Roman gods would just storm upon the earth. You came lowly. We humble ourselves as we realize that our God is not a prideful God, that nothing is below you. Lord, would you open our minds to understand that this is not about our lists. This is not about the cookies. This is not about the trees. This is about a fight that we are in the middle of. And we have been fought for. And we have been won. And you have laid your own godship down to wrap yourself in flesh, to be subject to illness and to death, to be in the cold, to be nursed by a young woman who had no idea what was going on. Our God loves us. We have been called sons and daughters because of what our Father has done and sending his own Son to be among us. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God in the highest. Oh, we worship you not only tonight, but every day for the truth that has been made manifest among us. Lord, be glorified in the name of Jesus.